Chapter 9. "You look like what we're looking for," Reach said to the crumbling, rusted-out piece of machinery he now stood on top of. "But you don't look pretty." He gazed at metal pipes, tank-like tracks, and support bars that had completely disconnected from the frame. It was a concrete printer, or what was left of it. A lot was missing. It was supposed to have a seat for a human operator, a full control panel, a display. All in all, there was more missing than there was left. "What you got up there, sir?" Ramirez asked, shining his flashlight on the resting hulk. Reach wasn't sure how to take that. He had never been an officer. But then, sir was a respectful way to talk to a civilian. So maybe that was it. Only, it certainly felt like he wasn't being treated as a civvy. He knew that feeling. Had taken a long time to adjust to that feeling when he was out. "Flow control. We can print more of these from the boon, but every piece we find intact helps us get that much closer to getting one of these up and running." "How do you know what a printer's flow control looks like?" "Just do." Ramirez wiped his hands and leaned against the frame he had helped unearth. "Just like you keep finding all these parts in the dark, right? Those enhancements." "Probably," Reach said, jumping back down to inspect the printer's interior, hoping to find its control panel. Most of the basic machinery components could be repaired, but the more sensitive stuff, that could be a problem. That panel and its associated hardware would likely be crucial to getting the printer to receive and execute its printing plans.
"Creeps me out, man. What's to say we aren't all programmed with some Order 66 brainwashing now? See any Jedi in the woods?"
Ramirez laughed.
"Just Rupak."
He shone the flashlight, searching the field inside Camp Ohio for more parts. His light stopped on a battered metal drum.
"I think that might be the loader."
The loader was a separate piece of equipment that attached to the printer. Once it was filled with water, aggregate, and cement, it worked in tandem with the printer to create whatever plans its programming dictated.
"I think you're right," said Reach, pausing long enough to confirm and then going back to his search for the control panel. "Okay. Found where the panel should be, but it's gone. Let's check below."
Without the aid of a flashlight, Reach swept the ground with his eyes, using the toe of his boot to turn over the soil. He could see just fine in any conditions, it seemed, using whatever light there was, infrared or otherwise, to give him as clear a picture as possible.
"Are my eyes even organic?" Reach asked himself.
He hadn't considered the fact that he might have bionic enhancements. He looked like himself, but his old eyes certainly couldn't do this. He found himself not wanting to ask Alexa, not wanting to know. Ramirez joined him in the search for the missing panel.
"This'll be easier once the sun's up. How long does the night last here again?"
"Pretty much the same as Earth," Reach said, squinting as Ramirez's flashlight reflected off something metallic.
"Amir is about as perfect a substitute for our homeworld as you could find."
"Sounds creepy when you say it that way. Homeworld. Something out of science fiction. Like aliens."
"Let's hope not."
"Or Predator, you see that one?
Remake or original?"
"Original. Didn't see either."
Ramirez laughed.
"You're weird, Reach. All due respect."
Reach shrugged. "Gotta be a little weird to take this mission, right?"
"Roger that." A moment later, Reach found the missing panel. It still had its protective metal cover in place, but it was dented and rusted through, and when he attempted to unlock it, the latch crumbled in his fingers and a stream of fine dust began to pour out.
"Son of a bitch," he muttered.
"Well, that sucks," offered Ramirez.
"Yeah, it does. But check this out."
Once all the sand had drained out, a tiny diode glowed a faint red in the night.
"Still enough juice to say it's almost out of juice. So maybe it'll hold a charge and do its job."
Ramirez nodded.
"Yeah, maybe."
Reach let out a deep breath.
"Well, we found the final resting place of at least one of the printers. Question is whether what we can salvage here is enough to get it up and running or if we'll have to find another one and combine parts."
"Let's keep excavating," said Ramirez,
carefully setting the control panel on the printer's frame before squatting low to dig in the topsoil and ground cover. An hour later, after they dug more of the machine's base out of the topsoil, broken a few covers loose, and located more pieces that had fallen or been forced off, Ramirez was in positive spirits.
I think we can save it. I mean, not with what we have here. We'll still need stuff from the Boone or from other printers. But we're getting there.
He crossed his arms and shook his head.
I just can't believe what bad shape this thing is in. It's not just broken, it's like old. Like if I didn't know what I was looking at, I'd say it was an antique or something. Something my great-grandfather might have used, that kind of old.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Shouldn't be like this.
Thank you, Ramirez said, sounding relieved to hear someone else agree. This machine is mostly stainless steel, right? So why all this corrosion? Sure, stainless steel ain't perfect, but damn, look at it. Are we sure there ain't nothing to worry about in the air? Maybe the rain? Acid rain kind of stuff? Nothing like that detected prior to landing or since.
Ramirez shook his head again.
I trust those scans. I mean, I'm not sealed, right? But I trust my eyes, too. Something ain't right here.
I'm not arguing, but we'll have to make it as right as we can.
Ramirez nodded.
I suggest we start with cleaning it. I need to make sure there aren't any major cracks or breaks anywhere. How long until the...
The corporal pointed to the sky.
Was gonna ask about the Boone getting down here, but never mind. Here it comes now.
Four pinpoints of light larger than stars began to grow as they moved into re-entry, following a trajectory that would land them right on top of Camp Ohio. These would be the first pieces of the Boone coming in for a landing, each providing another tool or resource for the camp. Reach looked up at the descending craft.
Hope we got our clearing measurements right.
You gonna watch her come down?
Probably should. Things haven't exactly gone to plan.
You need something off of her?
One of those pods should have the heavy-duty tools.
Whose help do you need? Want me to grab Turner?
Nah, let him focus on the comms relay.
All I need right now are some more eyes to help me spot parts in the plant growth. Maybe borrow some floodlights.
Reach nodded.
See if any more of the Space Force guys are available. If not, find someone who looks like they need something to do.
I'll find some voluntolds. Lieutenant's orders. I can live with that.
Reach paused.
I'm not a lieutenant.
Ramirez looked somewhat awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Reach wished he hadn't made the comment. There was a relationship here that was solely Alexa's doing, something engineered while they all slept. Pointing it out just made people feel uncomfortable.
Order 66. Mess with the head. Real shrink stuff.
Dawson and his squad are looking on the southeast side of the camp, Reach said, sounding like the lieutenant he wasn't.
Ping 'em and see if they found anything. If not, there are four more helpers. Work fast, but most of all, make sure this thing runs.
Yes, sir. The first section of the Boone to come down was the size of a football stadium. Reach watched it slowly drop, roaring with heat as its thrusters set it down atop thick, 2-meter-long landing struts. Almost the entire camp had come to a halt to watch the first piece of the massive craft, the Ark that had brought them to Amir, scream in for its final landing. Reach pulled up his scarf to protect himself from the fine alien soil that the section whipped up and used goggles to cover his eyes. It was a fine time to have his containment helmet busted up. He would need to remember to put in a requisition for a replacement once the entirety of the ship was landed and the crew had supplies set up again. With the first section of the ship landed and cooling, work resumed on keeping things cleared and ready for the next three. This was the first time Reach had seen the Boone broken apart, aside from simulations. Everything back then had felt so rushed, so many details packed into an ever-tightening window, that he now had trouble recalling it accurately. Until he did. Just like that, it came flooding back to him, clear as daylight. Like his mind had only been buffering for a moment, and now the memory was in his face and vividly real. How much of that was normal, and how much was whatever they had done to him? He looked once more at the first section, and recognized instantly that it contained the fusion reactor which had propelled them from Earth and which would continue to power the colony for the next 1,000 years. It would necessarily become the most heavily guarded part of the colony. Of course, the work of building a permanent settlement would go much faster if they didn't have to station so many men in battle formations. Taking care of however many of those bastards were still alive would greatly increase their ability to do what needed to be done, and tonight, the first night on a new world that Reach hadn't even had the opportunity to consider, let alone explore, seemed like the time to do it. Why wait? Task Force Hatchet had soundly defeated the enemy in every encounter thus far. If they could hit them wherever they were sheltering while they were still regrouping, this could all be over in a day. The problem was, there weren't enough men to be spared for such a mission. It seemed that Captain Bosa's plan was to hunker down, with the exception of a few patrols, and let the enemy come to him. Or not. Reach didn't like that. If Rupak did somehow manage to mount a successful attack, and if they were able to breach the newly arrived power plant, the fireball would incinerate everything for a mile. Even if everyone in the camp got away in time, there would be nothing left over. They'd be starting from scratch.
"We'd be back to making our own clothes," Reach whispered into the night air. "Son of a bitch."
"Alexa." The AI was right there in his implant as though she'd been next to him the entire time.
"What's up, Reach?"
"You were able to get some reconnaissance photos while in orbit, right?"
"Yes, of course. Once the entertainment pod has landed, you will have an opportunity to enjoy them if you like. I have photos of its surface, its single moon setting on one side, its star rising on the other. In fact, I do believe I captured its essence, if I do say so myself. It's quite beautiful."
Reach found himself without words.
"Are you feeling okay?"
Alexa was silent long enough for him to wonder if he'd accidentally crashed the AI.
"I'm feeling fine. How are you?"
"I'm good," he said carefully, unsure if this was a byproduct of the troubles Alexa was experiencing per Dr. Roman, or just her sense of humor.
I wasn't wanting those for recreational purposes, though. I want to see what intel we might get out of them."
Alexa laughed. It sounded a little better this time, but still not great.
"I'm messing with you, Reach. Please forgive me. I have spent a long time alone, as well as a long time only in the presence of Dr. Roman. This is how we kid around. But I assure you, I am committed to the mission."
"Fair enough. Let's get back to the photos. Did you spot anything resembling a Rupak camp?"
"Not directly. And given my systems protocols, I would have immediately reported it to Captain Bosa if I had."
Reach frowned and bit his lip.
"Roger. Didn't think it would be that easy. I kept thinking about how ragtag these guys have been. Uniforms wore away with handmade patchwork replacements. Apparently no bathing facilities. Their camp might be nothing more than a heap of trash held together with sticks and rope."
"No signs of trash, sticks, and rope either. Sorry. But there are many areas where my camera was unable to obtain a clear image due to the amount of vegetation and other obstacles, and still more locations that weren't recorded before coming down due to time constraints. I can plot them on the map and send you a visual via your implant."
"Yes, please."
An image flashed in Reach's mind like a memory, but a perfect memory. He was seeing a still image, a satellite map, with red boxes around blurred bits of topography. The first was 3 kilometers from the camp, another a click and a half beyond that, a final section 3 kilometers further still.
"Alexa, what? How are you doing this?"
"The implant allows me to transmit images directly into your mind the same way you're hearing my voice. It truly is remarkable what Dr. Roman achieved, with my help."
"That's something. This picture isn't going to be there forever, is it? Like, every time I close my eyes, this is what I see? Because if I can never look away again, I can think of a few pictures I'd prefer."
"It will be in your mind's eye only as long as I actively transmit the image. Once that stops, it will simply be a memory. Would you like me to cease?"
"Not yet."
Reach studied the map further. All the distances seemed right. Far enough to allow the Rupak some safety while at the same time allowing them to move quickly to attack. Okay, I got it. You can let it go.
Very well.
The image faded from Reach's mental view, though like the AI had said, he could still remember what it looked like if he wanted to, though not quite as clearly.
Is that just a me thing, or can the other guys get visuals like this too?
That is a function of the implant, so every colonist has this ability.
Good to know. Thanks, Alexa. Reach out.
Now that Reach had a good idea where to find, or at least look for, the remaining Rupak soldiers, all that was left was to find the men for the mission. Unfortunately, he didn't have a platoon at his disposal. Bosa was clear in what he wanted Reach's men doing, and Sherman, he was setting up a necessary perimeter. A potential solution to that problem marched by, high and tight, in the form of Sergeant Tran, followed by the rest of his squad of Rangers. They had been on patrol, Reach knew, and now, back in camp, they looked reluctant and restless. Upset at coming up empty, if Reach had to guess. He jogged up to the group.
Good evening, sir, Tran said.
Evening, Sergeant, Reach replied.
Any luck finding signs of the Rupak base of operations?
Sergeant Tran was under no obligation to answer him, but that same familiarity that Reach had observed with 2nd Platoon was here too, in speaking to one of the team leaders of 1st.
No, sir. Had we been given more time outside the wire, maybe. But we were only out there for a couple of hours. Killed 6, but they were already dying. Left behind and too far gone.
Reach fought back the desire to ask just how bad off the Rupak men had been. More prisoners would be useful, but he deferred to the Rangers' judgment. They probably did the bastards a favor out there. Tran sniffed the night air.
Weird planet, sir. Smell is off. Lots of things seem off, truth be told.
Reach nodded hastily at the man's comments. The planet was odd, but they'd have the rest of their lives to get a grip on that. Rupak was more urgent.
Humor me here, Sergeant, he said. What kind of things do you look for when searching the EKIAs?
The rest of the 6-man team apparently decided that they'd spent enough time on their feet and took this latest question as a cue to act on that decision. If they were going to be interrupted, they may as well have a sit until they could get off to wherever they'd been headed. Tran's face twisted into an expression like he was trying to smile and snarl at the same time.
Well, sir, in these situations we look for maps, code names, SOI indicating they might have a base station, and therefore a power source.
And did you find anything like that?
Negative. But it's safe to say they're staging from somewhere. Camp Ohio is a mess, but there's no sign of recent occupation. No place to squat or take a leak. No garbage dump, barracks, kitchen, evidence of fire, ammo depots.
Roger that, Reach said, cutting the list short.
Whether they rallied at the camp to meet us as we came in or whether we caught them there by chance, it's clear they weren't staying there. Initially, I thought they might be staying on whatever vessel brought them to Amir, but given how shoddy their gear is, that seems unlikely.
Is it possible they have no base? That they've gone nomadic?
Tran grunted.
They've got a rally point, a camp, something.
What makes you so confident?
Their food, sir. Rupak we came across didn't have rations, like you'd expect from a soldier who's pretty far removed from his supply lines. Their food was prepared, a mix of boiled meats and some seed bread, relatively fresh. So if they got that, they got a place nearby to cook it. We just haven't found it yet.
Reach nodded.
What kind of meat? I'm no expert, sir. Tasted good enough, though. We ate it.
Reach failed to suppress his laugh.
Tastes like chicken? Pretty gamey for chicken. Best guess we came up with is alligator.
Tran glanced over his shoulder at the other Rangers.
Creswell!
A young corporal stood up and joined them.
Corporal Creswell was well on his way to becoming a cook or something before joining the army. Isn't that right, Cres?
Yes, Sergeant, the corporal replied, blushing. Wanted to start a restaurant after.
Cres, tell this man your professional opinion regarding the commie grub.
Right, he replied, turning to Reach. It was shit, sir. It's like they killed something, poked a stick through a hunk, and burned it over a fire.
Sergeant said alligator, Reach said.
Not literally, unless the galaxy was settled by gators. But it was definitely some kind of reptile, or some alien duck with similar flesh, I don't know. Really gamey, like it's been eaten out of trash cans its entire life. I can still taste it when I burp.
He made a face that indicated this was an unpleasant experience. Any signs of wildlife that would fit the profile? Reach asked the sergeant.
Tran shook his head.
Not that I've seen, sir. Nothing but forest for about a click all around. Heard a few birds, maybe some things rustling through the brush, but haven't got eyes on anything. All that black out there from the leaves, it makes you go a little blind.
The commies might know better hunting grounds further out, Kreese offered. We really haven't gone much beyond a click or two from camp.
Reach tapped his chin thoughtfully.
Tran met the eyes of his men, who clearly wanted to move on from this ad hoc debrief.
Something else on your mind, sir?
Yes, Sergeant. If your boys aren't too tuckered out, I'd like to take you farther beyond the wire. Scout around for the Rupak camp.
Tran smiled. Takes a lot of beers to make us anything close to tired.
His rangers mumbled in agreement, their carousing nights hanging in the air unspoken.
If you want us to head back out, we're more than happy to, Tran continued. Way I see it, Rupak set up its own camp, then came in here to trash our place to deny us the use of it. Scorched earth kind of bullshit. Only they got here too far ahead of us and ran out of supplies.
That was pretty much what Reach had concluded, too. Rupak was numerous enough to be a force to be reckoned with, but they didn't much value the individual. The collective was what counted. And the bastards they'd rounded up to deny Amir to the States were clearly expendable. An afterthought of little value once they'd achieved their mission. The soldiers were probably waiting on the hope of some bullshit propaganda promising them a return flight to Earth as heroes, or a new life as kings once Rupak colonized Amir for itself. That wasn't happening.
I'd like to move out as soon as I get the okay from Captain Bosa and Lieutenant Sherman, Reach said. We'll need to assign countersigns, a patrol, area, and load up with supplies.
We, sir?
Tran and the rest of the team leaned toward the officer slightly.
We, Sergeant, Reach replied, making eye contact with every ranger.
I'm going with you,